Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Now then, welcome along. Monday evening here on Off the Ball, and Ronan O'Gara and Alan Quinlan will be on to analyse Ireland's defeat to England on Saturday. We already recorded the chat with the two lads out at Vodafone headquarters. They had much to say about what went wrong for Ireland and what went right for England. So that's on the way in about 25 minutes' time, earlier than usual, on Monday Night Rugby this evening. We will be keeping a very close eye on events at the London Stadium. Liverpool against West Ham. We'll be over to Ian Beach, who's going to be there all night for us. Plus, Brady and Belichick. They do it again. They cannot be stopped. John Gonzalez with his take on Super Bowl 53. And maybe even Richie McCormack's take on Maroon 5's halftime performance. Hello, Richie.
Didn't see it.
I bet you're a fan, aren't you?
Hate Maroon 5's, are awful.
I tell you what, she's some man. Honestly, I'm very surprised.
You're a big
fan,
are you?
No, what do you think?
I think you're a massive fan of Maroon 5.
Good
The New York Times called it an inessential performance.
I heard it was just completely like, you would never have remembered it 5 minutes after it's happened.
The only memorable thing actually is that Adam Levine has gone from accepting that he is part of just a pop group, harmless enough, vanilla, a bit like myself, you know, he's good, I can relate to the man, to now thinking...
Vanilla.
To now thinking he's some kind of guitar playing, tattooed hard man act with a real edge.
Yeah.
He got topless by the end of it.
Did he?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I missed. I only
watched the last 15 minutes of the game, so I probably saw the best bit of the match, didn't
you
I?
You absolutely did. Yeah.
It finished off with him topless, covered in tattoos, gyrating as if to say...
Oh, I'm not accepting that.
Look at this.
Would you consider doing something similar on the TV?
No. There he is. There's a picture for anyone streaming.
Well, he's after hitting the weights.
Yeah, he had
bugged. He's had a go, Annie. See, that's unacceptable in my mind. You got the people think you got the gym. You're entitled to take your top off. How old is he?
Mid-30s, I'd reckon.
Once you're beyond the age of 17 or 18 years of age, taking your top off like that is unacceptable.
He's using Prince's guitar as well.
What? No, I'm not having that, pal.
Yeah, it really. I mean, they're a nothing band. They're elevator music, and the performance reeked of it.
Yeah,
but they were just there because a load of other people didn't want to play it.
Do we actually agree on something? We actually agree. Me and Richie agree on music here.
They struggled as well. You know the way increasingly they have guests dropping in and out. It's a collage. Yeah. They couldn't really get anybody to come in and join them. So it was just
painful.
Apparent early on that even I think as they were doing it, they were thinking to themselves, "We may have misjudged this decision to go ahead with this." They didn't even have a pre-Super Bowl press conference, as is tradition.
Yeah.
They did an exclusive with Entertainment Weekly.
Oh, good.
Where they'd get nice, easy
fluffy questions.
Yeah. I'm not a politician. I just want to spread love and all this kind of stuff. So
much like yourself.
That was the halftime show. Yeah. So there was that. Brady and Belichick we'll talk about with John Gonzalez.
Well, the game's dire, isn't it? It's just dull.
Did you watch? I literally watched the last 10, 12 minutes of the game, and I saw the touchdown. I was going to say I saw the try then, sorry. I saw the touchdown, and it was that. I saw everything within probably the last 10
Lowest
minutes.
Lowest scoring Super Bowl in history, 13-3 the final score. Mm. It's just one for the purists, they'd say.
I think so.
Lads with neck beards and who wear oversized jerseys over hoodies got off.
If ever there's a game, a Super Bowl for Kenny Cunningham, that is it, isn't it?
The one.
That is Kenny Cunningham's Super Bowl.
Enjoy that. It's great.
Defence is on top.
Can't wait for tomorrow night to ask about it.
It seemed the analysis from the BBC team, who were excellent, the halftime analysis team.
Yeah, I was watching a bit of that. Yeah.
Mike Carlson was on OTBAM and he was on last night from Atlanta. And they were all making the point that actually one of the reasons the Rams had withheld the Patriots for so long was they had left on the same defensive team for the whole game and just fatigue got to them late on. That was one of the key reasons they were given. But we'll get to that with John Gonzalez. Meanwhile, let's go to Ian Beach, who's standing by. Hello, Ian.
Hello there.
Oh, we're chipper tonight. We're ready to go.
Yeah, of course. Big game. Big game. Every reason to be excited. Why not?
Teams are in, are they? Just...
Yeah, they're in. I'm pretty much just been handed them, actually.
Okay.
I'm looking at it right now. Jordan Henderson's not playing. That's not really a surprise, is it? He was standing in at right back against Leicester. Adam Lallana's coming in to start the game. But there's no Jordan Shaqiri in this lineup. Again, not too much of a surprise away from home. But Firmino, Mane and Salah all safely in the team. Virgil van Dijk, all the key men.
If I jump in for a second to help you out, because I know what a nuisance it is when you just get the team. It looks from this vantage point like Milner's at right back, like it's Matip and van Dijk and Robertson, and that's the back four. And then we have Fabinho and Keita. And then we have a combination of Mane, Firmino, Lallana and Salah.
That looks about right. Yeah, I mean, I've got the names in front of me. So the players who are going out here, you know, there's no Wijnaldum in there today either, no Henderson and no Shaqiri. So it's three changes from the Leicester game, but still a pretty strong team and the team you'd expect really to come here and win. There's no doubt about that.
Declan Rice in midfield for West Ham as well. First game of the season at Anfield. He was in defensive midfield position and was whipped off at half-time, Kev. But he's back in there this evening. So
they were awful that day, weren't they?
Ian, they've been very good at home, West Ham. I've seen a couple of games in recent times. I saw them beat Man United this season. I saw them beat Arsenal there this season as well, playing very well. Of course, that was the goal of the game that Declan Rice scored. This is a different test for Liverpool because they've been quite, well, they haven't been as convincing away from home as they have been at home. And especially after that Leicester game, I think there's a big test for them here tonight, really, Liverpool.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I was at Anfield on the first day of the season. West Ham got it totally wrong. Wilshere was playing in midfield. Anderson was making his first appearance. Anderson looked good. But in general, they tried to play a really high line, and that was suicide against Liverpool. Every time they could get in behind and pull the ball across goal, they were looking really threatening. Every away game, in particular in the Premier League, is a real big game for Liverpool at the moment. On paper, you'd expect them to win, but, you know, and I do expect them to win today, but we know away from home in the Premier League, teams do make mistakes. And this is another test, I guess, for Liverpool.
I think the one key area, I think, maybe something to look out for tonight as well, it's definitely Liverpool right back. James Milner coming in. Henderson played there the last game. Zaha tore Milner apart, really, in that last game. And in the last one, maybe from 30 minutes onwards, it was Damari Gray tore Henderson apart. West Ham's best player in recent times is Felipe Anderson. He'll go up directly up against James Milner tonight. So that's a key area, I think, for Liverpool. If they can nullify the threat from Felipe Anderson, I think they'll have too much, I think, overall to get something from this.
And how does Milner match up against Felipe Anderson?
Well, that's the one. Is James Milner was very rash. Watching him against Zaha, he was rash. He wanted to win the ball early, and Zaha had him. He was too strong for him. He was too quick for him. He had too much trickery for him. Felipe Anderson's a similar sort of player. Probably not as powerful, I would say, but certainly the creativity and trickery he's got,
Okay.
I'd kind of counter that a bit, though. I think Milner offers a lot going forward, and that's going to ask questions of Anderson, who I haven't really seen offer anything defensively. He's very clever at getting out of that right-back position and getting into position to get crosses in, so Anderson's got to be careful of that too.
Have you been at the London Stadium much across the season, Ian?
Two or three times, yeah. It's starting to feel more like home for West Ham, no doubt about that. The big games are the better ones, better atmospheres, and when they play under the floodlights, even better. So as far as West Ham are concerned, I don't think playing in this bowl of a stadium is too much of a problem tonight.
I mean, it does strike me as one of the nights that West Ham will put in a performance.
Oh,
they're on television, league leaders coming to town, floodlights,
and
banana skin.
The atmosphere around the stadium, you know, is kind of difficult to explain in some ways. But West Ham is like the national team of East London. And you get this enormous whip up for the big games. And you can sense it milling around outside the ground on the way here. Mm. You don't get that for the run-of-the-mill matches, the mid-table games. But for nights like this, they expect to see their team put in a big shift. And that's why you see West Ham really getting results out of games like this every so often.
Ian, just one thing on Liverpool's central midfield, and no Henderson tonight playing there. Fabinho's coming back in. What's the thought there on Fabinho coming in? It looks like he'll probably play alongside Naby Keita as the two holders, with playing Lallana a little bit further forward. They could go a three, I suppose, but it's just it's a little bit unbalanced, I think, with that midfield that goes in there tonight from what they have been in recent times.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think Henderson's actually quite an important part of the way that Liverpool play. Which one of those players? I suppose Fabinho's the one you're going to ask to play as the anchor man, really, of those three. If it's Fabinho, Keita and Lallana as a three, I think Fabinho probably plays in the middle of those.
Yeah.
I think they'd be more secure with Henderson in there. But I guess it goes back to almost the way Manchester City play, doesn't it? With Fernandinho playing as a central defender and then getting into midfield. They're asking Fabinho to do something like that. Look like one kind of player when they're defending and try and add something in attack when they're going forwards.
Kev, a question for you. You mentioned West Ham have had some big results at home. How do they go about their business against the bigger teams?
Well, it's quite surprising no Zabaleta tonight as well. I don't know if he's been carrying a knock or anything, but Fredericks comes in tonight. Fredericks bombs on. If anyone would have seen him play for Fulham last season, good attacking fullback. Zabaleta's actually been playing quite well, but it's more been solid. It's playing to his position rather than actually bombing on, getting into advanced positions. So that's the thing that I'll be looking at with him tonight. I think I mentioned Felipe Anderson. He's been West Ham's best player. When I've seen West Ham playing against the Man United, the Arsenal, the top sides, he has been the key player. And I know Arnautovic is a key player for them, yes, but I think he's started to grow as the season's gone on. So Felipe Anderson's the one in my mind. Even Snodgrass, set pieces, key for them tonight as well. Get your set pieces right. There's a chance because Liverpool haven't looked great defensively from set pieces in the last few weeks. I just think from what Ian's saying there as well, I just think overall, Liverpool, solid enough in this game. Don't give too much weight. I think they've got too much. I think they can expose maybe a little bit of weakness that West Ham do show defensively. I think they've got a bit too much there tonight.
Okay. Ian, you're going along with that?
Yeah, and also talking about the set pieces, the fact that Chicharito is playing up front for West Ham, he doesn't really offer a threat at those. So they're really relying on Ogbonna, Diop, the two central defenders, and maybe even Mikel Antonio. Yeah. I think Liverpool look stronger in that department tonight.
Okay, Ian, you're with us across the evening. Updates coming in all the way. And kickoff is at 8 o'clock. Short break. We'll resume the news round with the injury toll, amongst other things, that Ireland have faced into after that loss to England, and every other story in just a few moments with Richie.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Now, you're welcome, Max. So we're mid-news round. We've been over to the London Stadium to get team news from Ian Beach. Declan Rice starts for West Ham. For Liverpool, it's Alisson in goal. Milner is the right back this evening. Matip, Van Dijk, Robertson, the back four. Fabinho and Naby Keita as a two. And then we'll have Mane, Lallana, Salah and Firmino up top for Liverpool. 8 o'clock kickoff. Ian Beach on updates all evening and Chemical Band watching here in studio. So to continue the news round, we'll get to the rugby in a second. I won't lie, listeners, we've spent the ad break trying to convince Kevin Kilbane not to read too much into Mayo's win over Tyrone. He literally won't stop talking about how good Mayo were.
Well, it was a great performance, wasn't it? I'm not judging too much from it. I just think that...
You are. You've just said they're back. They're on. They're here. Well, I mean business.
Well, what I've constantly heard over the last 3 years is that Mayo aren't producing the players and we don't have anyone coming through yet. Clearly, from the first couple of games, there's two or three really, really talented players that are going to go on and have good careers for themselves, yeah.
Are you going to get a Fionn McDonagh t-shirt just yet?
Well,
I heard Fionn McDonagh.
My love for Kevin McLaughlin will always be, but he's a left footer. He's a left footer, Fionn McDonagh, so he could be the new love of my life, yeah. I think that's the way.
What about McLaughlin?
We have to move on. No, he'll always be the love of my life, yeah. But yeah,
you're excited. I didn't see all of it, I saw highlights. I know you watched the full 70, even the Keith Higgins goal. Tyrone will never concede a goal
probably
like that.
Tyrone certainly won't play like that in the summer come championship time. I agree with you there. But I think, and Mayo looked way ahead of them. They did physically look way ahead of them. Yeah. Everything looked, but the only thing, you know,
everything looked amazing.
But it did, it looked great. It was a superb performance.
February football.
First 10 or 15 minutes, it was low key, but you know, Keith Higgins is in for the league this year. So I think that's a big thing as well come championship time.
Well, they've had a summer off, you know. That is the interesting thing in 2019. It's Mayo with a summer off as opposed to the heartbreak of September and a rough enough winter. So I'd say Horan's had them back. Mm. They're fit, they're ready to go, they're hungry.
I don't know if you said anything,
whereas Tyrone have an All-Ireland final to get over. So they're in totally different places.
No, I know that.
I'm just trying to say calm down.
I'm not in
here with green and red face paint on.
I'm not too excited. I just think There's two or three players there, some of the younger players there, that Brian Reap's another one, really impressed with him last week again against Roscommon. Yeah. He saw his goal last week. It's just ticking over. It's just bubbling away.
I saw Dublin up close on Saturday night.
Yeah.
What we're talking about here is he was going to finish second and third to Dublin.
I will say, we've said it every year, Richie. We've said it every year for the last...
You're going to be saying it next year again.
Kev is saying these things, but he doesn't mean them. Okay. What he's actually saying inside is, they're amazing. They're going to win it this year. It's going to happen.
I'm not saying that at all. I can't believe it's
going to happen.
I'm not getting too excited.
I got an email today saying Kevin Kilbane has booked Sunday, the whatever of August stuff, today.
Well, give me the week off.
That's just for the picnic.
Right, anyway, there was that, and then there was the rugby at the weekend. So the hits keep on coming. This was a costly defeat.
Yeah, and the true cost of that loss to England at the weekend became all the more clear this afternoon, with CJ Stander ruled out of this coming Saturday's clash with Scotland at Murrayfield and the trip to Rome to face Italy. The Munster back row will miss the next 4 weeks at least after suffering a facial injury during that 32-20 loss at the Aviva. Andrew Conway, meanwhile, he's returned to Munster this week, having suffered calf tightness in the lead-up to Saturday's game. Keith Earls, Devon Toner and Gary Ringrose will all be monitored this week due to respective hip, ankle and hamstring problems. Peter Mahoney was in front of the media today, insisting Ireland can still win the Six Nations Championship, and the Munster captain says they can't afford to panic ahead of Murrayfield.
We've got to get back to the things that we do well. We've reviewed them, and you know, they're the area that we're going to go to base our performance on this weekend. You know, we're certainly not going to throw all the game plan out the window and start fresh or start something new. You know, we've built a squad and a game plan for a long, long time now, and we certainly won't be going away from it. We just need to realise how important the stuff that we do well is for our game.
What happened, Joe?
Oh, loads happened.
I didn't see the game. I was at Cardiff Saturday, so I was getting back and to listen to bits on the radio and things like that along the way.
Well, if you want the most simplistic version in what is a very complicated picture, I'm sure. But you know, all week everyone was talking about how the Vunipola brothers were there, Billy was back and Manu Tulagi was there, and England were coming with big size and heft all of a sudden. Mm. We were saying these words, but not really believing it would be an issue. And then come game time, for huge swathes of the 80 minutes, Ireland literally could not carry the ball forward an inch. They were being smashed back. There was a statistic, dominant tackles. England had 48, I think, of them, and Ireland had 9. So it turned out these big boys are rather useful.
Shane Horgan managed to sum it up at halftime with you. He summed up the whole game at halftime, where he said Ireland were playing what they'd studied on and worked on during the week and not what was presented in front of them on the pitch. And that kind of told.
It just proved incredibly difficult for them on the hoof to try and figure out what to do when they had no go-forward ball.
But before the game, the lads in the studio with you, was it overly confident? Was it just a confident feel that
confident.
We were going to go and win the game?
Confident. That might be, you know, somewhere in the 5 to 10 point range. Not that it was going to be hammering, it would be difficult, it would be tight, but nobody anticipated that England would effectively bully Ireland physically. That was the word Joe Schmidt even used. And then there's a few, you know, there's other areas. It was difficult for Robbie Henshaw at fullback, undoubtedly. Yeah. The lads picked out a few areas where he was out of position. And then when Keith Earls goes off injured in Larmour and Stockdale, you have a very inexperienced pendulum around him in the backfield. So it's a really tough time for Henshaw. Does he stay there is one of the big questions hanging over the team. We'll talk to O'Gara and Quinlan. Well, we already have talked to them, but we'll play it out for you very shortly. And then there is a concern that Sexton was very rusty. Hadn't played in 4 weeks. Conor Murray's not himself. He's back from a serious injury. Mm. Peter Omani's ribs, I would suspect, still don't feel 100%. CJ Stander was playing with a fractured cheekbone for the vast majority of the game. It was just a really, really bad day on almost every front.
Yeah.
I think what spooked people is not that Ireland have lost, but that it was so comprehensive. And that is what everybody's suddenly grappling with.
Yeah.
Now, Omani says they could still win the Six Nations. They could really. What this thing comes down to is England go to Cardiff in week 3. So if Wales beat England, then we go to Cardiff in the final game, and there's a chance that England, Wales and Ireland are all in contention. Obviously, if England win in Cardiff in week 3, it's Grand Slam.
Yeah.
So that's where we are. But we'll talk to men who know a lot more than us very, very shortly. There's news in Scotland.
Yeah, front row pair Fraser Brown and Murray McCallum have been added to their squad for Saturday's game with Ireland. They'll replace the injured William Nell, who's a calf strain, and Sam Skinner, who's got an ankle problem. While England's win on Saturday hasn't come cheaply either, they look set to be without Maro Itoje for as long as Ireland are without Stander. The Saracens lock suffered a grade 2 medial ligament tear on Saturday at the Aviva and is out for at least 4 weeks. England hope Itoje can return for their tournament finale even. Against Scotland, that's on March the 16th. Back to Liverpool, they hope to have Joe Gomez back before the season's end. The Premier League leaders confirmed today the defender requires surgery on the leg he fractured away to Burnley in early December. Liverpool haven't put a timescale on Gomez's recovery, but say it's likely he will feature between now and May.
Do you know what, Richie? It surprised me the timescale they give when they announced he'd fractured his leg. They said it was 4 weeks.
They were very optimistic.
Yeah, very, very optimistic with the prognosis. And I was like, surely if it is a fracture of any sort, it would be...
Six, at least.
Yeah, well, 6 to 8, yeah. Whatever it would be. So whether or not they thought, look, they can maybe get him back doing a certain amount of training, whatever it would be, and he's obviously broke down, hasn't he?
I think he had actually come pretty close. I think he'd been involved in training and he decided that it wasn't progressing as it needs to be, and they've sent him out for surgery now as well.
Somebody wondering, any idea on the numbers watching the rugby at the weekend? Interestingly, they just released them there. There's more people watching this game than the Grand Slam game.
Really?
Makes sense of that.
Well, it's because there's huge hype around it, though.
Well, maybe the hype, yeah. 1.45 million tuned in. On average, 979. And on average, on Paddy's day, there was 951. Yeah. So there you go.
Why are you announcing that, Joel?
Someone wants to know.
All right, yeah, just, yeah.
I don't expect they were tuning in to see the analysis.
A huge percentage of the country tuning in to watch it.
Oh, massive. Yeah.
And it's great.
It's rugby
I'm
country.
Delighted.
Don't you forget
I'm
that.
Delighted. I'm delighted for you.
Somebody on the Super Bowl is making the point. Lads, people giving out about the Super Bowl sound just like the hurling snobs when there's a bad game of football. Don't lower yourselves to the level of hurling snob, fellas. Nobody likes a hurling snob.
I like hurling snob.
highlight of the night so far, lads. Kev uttering the classic GAA-ism. Come championship time. What's next? Kev appearing on the Marty squad, says Barry. If you ever go on the Marty squad.
Oh, can we make that? I'm backing Kev's appearance on the Marty squad.
We're over.
That's great. That's great. I'll still have you.
If I even get a sniff of you near that, we're done. You're out the door.
Oh, that'd be class.
Oh, come on,
a qualifier outside McHale Park.
Do you know what? You'll do it.
You rocked up to the roadcaster. Hi, Marty.
You're made for that. Right, come on.
Marty wouldn't understand the word I say.
He would love you. Absolutely would. The Cork Kennedy board can see the Porky Queeve will need its pitch replaced later this year, saying it's unacceptable in its current form. The surface was badly chewed up after Kildare's victory over the Rebels in the Allianz Football League yesterday, and it was made no better by the second part of the doubleheader that saw Wexford beat their hosts by 4 points in Division 1A of the Allianz Hurling League. Cork County Board have decided to move Saturday week's Hurling League meeting with Clare to Porky Rin, with the Porky Queeve surface to be re-evaluated the following Monday and each subsequent Monday after that, but safe to say they ain't happy. The New England Patriots got the better of the lowest scoring ever Super Bowl last night. Sony Michel scored the game's only touchdown as the Pats beat Los Angeles Rams 13-3 to win their third Super Bowl in 5 years. After catching 10 passes for 141 yards, Patriots wide receiver Julian Edelman was named the game's MVP, ending a season which began with a 4-game suspension for failing a drugs test. Speaking after the game, Michel said a Super Bowl ring wasn't in his mind when he was drafted to the Patriots back in April.
When I got drafted, I didn't. The first thing that came to my mouth was, how much can I learn from these guys? I knew I was going to be around a lot of veteran guys that knew so much about this game, and I was so excited just to learn, and I've learned so much this season, and I can't be more excited right now to win the Super Bowl.
There we are. So we'll talk to John Gonzalez around 8:45 or so. Final story or two.
Mixed news on the, I suppose positive news if you're a Liverpool fan, but pretty poor if you're a Bayern Munich one. They've had their appeal against the Thomas Müller red card rejected. The German international forward was dismissed during Bayern's 3-3 draw with Ajax in the group stage in December. With the red card upheld, Müller will now miss both legs of Bayern's Champions League last 16 tie with Liverpool. It's further bad news for the Bundesliga champions, with doubts remaining over the fitness of Manuel Neuer. The goalkeeper missed Saturday's win over Bayer Leverkusen with a thumb injury, which Bild report today is more complicated than first thought. Skier's thumb is what they call it. Liverpool host Bayern for the first leg of their tie on February 19th with the return at the Allianz Arena on March 13th.
You know what I'm going to ask. What is Skier's thumb?
It involves the ligament of the thumb. I was looking this up earlier and there's a whole diagram that Bill put up as well. But basically, it's a very common injury that skiers suffer because of the way they would hold their...
Right.
Yeah.
That's great well, research.
He suffered it in training. And
how many sports have injuries named after them? Tennis elbow,
skier's thumb.
Skier's thumb. There's Gilmore's groin, that's not a sport.
What's that?
Gilmore groin. You know, the groin injury all the surgeon. Goalkeepers used to get before.
Surgeon, yeah.
Is he surgeon?
Yeah.
The goalkeepers used to get it in GAA, and that's what they brought in the kicking tees. Because they were just practicing too much kicking off the ground, and it was just really tough on their groins. So, is Gilmore the surgeon? Yeah.
Surgeon, yeah.
Tennis elbow, skier's thumb.
Chest cartilage.
There's got to be another one. There'll be another. Richie, Google
JP, that. JP just threw out Tommy John surgery. Baseball, but that's not named after the sport. If it was called baseball shoulder. I'll explain the rules to you afterwards, JP. Very simple. Turf toe. He just said turf toe. You're not getting this at all.
That's not a real thing. That is not
real. Turf's not a sport. If it was called NFL toe.
Turf.
It's on NFL, but like,
come on,
turf toe is not a sport.
You're better than that.
Come on now.
Turf toe.
That out in the Midlands.
Right, okay, we're not getting anywhere there. Troy Parrott, before we go, quickly.
Yeah, he signed his first professional contract with Tottenham today. The highly rated striker just turned 17 today. Decent now birthday present and has already been on the fringe, of course, of Spurs' first team in recent weeks.
He's got a chance, Kev.
Hopefully.
He's got a chance.
He was a bit unlucky at the start of the season when they had that Tranmere game in the Cup. He potentially would have been involved and he was injured. So, yeah, 17, hopefully, we'll see.
Dartitis has just come in.
Dartitis, yeah.
That's not an injury.
I have what actually.
It's a mental thing.
I have actually had Dartitis, and that is no joke.
Eric Bristow got it.
Is this like the yips?
Yeah, it's the yips.
You can't release the dart.
You can't release the dart.
You know, you could argue that it's an issue with your brain. It's a brain injury.
Yeah, it's the one.
It's not an injury.
What did Sergio Garcia have where he couldn't swing his club? He
kept regripping the club.
Yeah,
that's the yips as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if darditis gets it.
Oh yeah, I tell
by
you
by whisker maybe.
I've had it. I'm being serious. I've actually had darditis, yeah, and that is no joke.
How did you get it though?
We used to play darts every day at the club when I was at Everton and Wigan. I was actually half decent at darts, right. Yeah, and then one day I came in and I couldn't release the dart.
Stop.
I'm being serious. I couldn't release the dart. It was embarrassing. And when I went to Hull, Jimmy Bullard used to laugh at me. He'd go, "Kev, throw that," and I'd throw, and it was like a stutter. It was weird. Honest to God, it was weird.
Park that. We are starting the football show at 9.
With darititis.
Absolutely. That's phenomenal. Oh, fair play, someone. Jogger's nipple.
Jogger's nipple.
Yeah, there's a thought for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Chafed.
Now, earlier on today, we were out at Vodafone's head offices in Dublin. We were with Ron Nogara and Alan Quillen in front of a live audience, and we were talking about the weekend's rugby, as you can imagine. So their analysis of Ireland against England is on the way.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.